Well, brethren, it is last Sunday in the meeting of this year, and we are at the beginning of Christmas season. So I thought that today I will try to share time between those two topics. And I already mentioned that the second part would be a little bit informal. I just want to share some pictures taken over the years, just to remember about brethren, about places that we were, and just get connected again in our memories with those brethren. Well, brethren, there is no Polish version of the 12 days of Christmas Carol. And since I wasn't familiar with church liturgy that much, I always wondered what that carol is all about. In Poland, we have two Christmas holiday days. Here in US, we have only one. I wasn't aware that according to Western Christianity, Christmas describes... Oh, sorry. Technical difficulties, I'm sorry. So I wasn't aware that according to Western Christianity, Christmas describes 12 days from December 25th to January 5th, which is called Epiphany Day, which is the day when three magi arrive with gifts. Week ago, Brother Richard explained that arrival of magi after 12 days was not probable. And we don't subscribe to tradition of 12 days of Christmas. We don't even think that December 25th was a day when Jesus was born. We don't have any mention in the Bible that first Christians celebrated in any way the birthday of Jesus. And there's no documents that would show that at the beginning, Christians celebrated any holidays at the end of December. We know that this season, the season of winter solstice, was celebrated in many different ways by different group of pagans. From December 17 to 23rd, Romans had their Saturnalia. In 270s, Roman Emperor Aurelian popularized the cult of Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun, whose feast day was celebrated on December 25th. Other Romans revered a Persian god, Mithra, whose feast probably also was celebrated on December 25th. In the year 313, Constantine and Licinius issued the Edict of Milan, which legalized Christianity. Constantine, who himself became a Christian, tried to spread Christianity throughout his whole empire. There are records that show that first celebration of December 25th as a Christian feast of Jesus' birth happened in the year 336, 1 year before Constantine's death. Bible students around the world have different Christmas traditions. For example, in Poland, Christmas was treated as a Catholic holiday, and since brethren wanted to stay as far as possible from Catholic traditions, we didn't celebrate that holiday. Didn't have Christmas tree or other traditional Christmas decoration. But we use that date for our meetings. I remember that when I was growing up, the Kraków Ecclesia had the whole day convention and all neighbor classes were always invited. Of course, it was difficult to tell children that they will not receive any gifts when other children would receive them. But in Poland, and I guess some other countries in Europe, gifts giving falls on a different day. As you know, some countries have name days. Poland is among them. And let me demonstrate. This is the Polish calendar I got from doctor office. And if you don't know, probably you recognize this is food calendar. You probably recognize this on menu. And here, every day has assigned a name. And I realized that my name day is December 19th, and I forgot to celebrate. But December 6th is day of Mikołaj in Polish, which is Nikolai in English, which is a day of Santa Claus, we would say in Poland. And that's the day where everybody gives children gifts in Poland. December 25th is mostly reserved for religious celebration, religious holidays. The Christmas tree is subject of cultural difference between brethren in the US and brethren in some European countries. Mostly accepted here, it is mostly rejected there. And for some brethren from Poland, it is difficult to accept that brethren here do accept it. It is probably because here it wasn't treated as a symbol of Catholic Church that has to be rejected, but as a nice seasonal decoration that was accepted by many other Christian groups. We probably would not say that we celebrate Christmas like other Christian groups because we don't have any class meetings on that day, but we consider it appropriate that during our meetings that are close to the end of December, we talk about our Lord's birth and the meaning of that birth for us in whole mankind. I also would like to return to these events, but in little different form. In our hymn book, we have a topical index of hymns, and in the section under the title Birth of Jesus, we have just few hymns. Hymn 346, Silent Night, describe the night when our Lord was born. We don't know how silent was really that night. The small town was overwhelmed by all guests that recently arrived. We can imagine that even at the late hour, this town wasn't necessarily silent. But this silence may have also different meaning. This town was silent about Messiah. Nobody knew what was about to happen. The hymn tells us about silence of surrounding nature as if it was aware that something very special is going to happen, contrasting that to unaware people of the town that didn't even provide proper place for mother who was about to give birth. Let's listen to this hymn. next hymn 347, while shepherds weathered, tell us what happened to shepherds that watched their flocks, probably not far from the town. They were as unaware about the time of Messiah's birth as any other citizens of and guests of the town. We can imagine that in the town were more prominent, more educated, more qualified people, so to say, to receive this message, to properly understand it, and maybe even to provide proper support. But the message was given to those who wholeheartedly accepted it, but were not prominent enough to convince, influence, or force anybody to believe. What would happen if this angelic group visited the high priest? Would he be convinced and provide necessary protection and support? By design, this message was given in such a way that only those who were searching and waiting would be able to understand it. Let's listen to this hymn. Next hymn 345, I Came Upon the Midnight Clear, tell us more about the message left by angels. The message was directly given to shepherds, but this hymn tells us that it has meaning also for us and for all mankind when the age of God will come. Let's listen to this hymn.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of
The next hymn, which is not as popular as those that we already heard, hymn number 16, tell us about wise men who saw the star and decided to travel a long, very long distance to meet a new king of the world. This hymn gives us these men as an example of faith and determination. If they could follow the star, then we also can search for this new king and follow him. Let's listen to "As with Gladness, Men of Old."
Thank you.
about birth of our Lord, about message of angels. That was a prophecy that in some parts still awaits for its fulfillment. We heard about faith and determination of wise men who brought gifts. These events happened 2,000 years ago. Today's Christmas is very much a commercial event with Santa Claus in the lead role. And from time to time, we hear the question asked by others, what is the true meaning of Christmas? I'm not sure that we can say much about the meaning of Christmas, but for us, we could change this question. What is the true meaning of birth of Jesus? To try to answer this question, we have to realize that his birth on earth is only next step of the process that had beginning 9 months earlier. When Gabriel told Mary that she was chosen to give birth to Messiah, and she accepted it, a new life started in her womb, but that life was very special. We believe that this new life was created when powerful spiritual being that we know as Logos, who was the only begotten Son of God, who helped in creation of the spiritual and material world, agreed to be reduced to a form of embryo of the human being. I use the word reduced, but we don't really know how this was accomplished. We know that this spiritual being, Logos, ceased to exist as a spiritual being at that moment. His personality was somehow transferred into DNA code, so when he was born, he could develop similar personality as Logos, but without his memories and his previous character. Character of man, Jesus, had to be built again by example from parents, education, new memories, and new connection between his emotions and these memories. When he was 30 years old, his personality, his character, was created by experiences of a human being. It wasn't the same as that of Logos. So the question about Jesus' birth is really about Logos' transformation. Why did he have to transform himself into a human being and develop his character again? The answer, I think, is twofold. One part is important for us, children of Adam. To pay ransom for Adam and redeem him and all his posterity, but also provide everything that is needed to lift this sinful human being from his degradation. Second part is important for him, and we don't know that much about it. It could be that to receive divine nature and immortality, he had to prove that he could fulfill God's law and be found perfect also in imperfect and hostage environment. So returning to this question about importance of Logos transformation and Jesus' birth for us, we have to ask ourselves, is there anything in me so out of tune with God that only special spiritual help from God can fix it? If we say yes, and I believe we all have to say yes, then we have to recognize that this spiritual help from God is only possible because of Jesus' birth as human being and his redemptive death on the cross. His birth and his death are part of one redemptive process and really cannot be separated. We, 2,000 years later, remember about his birth and think about its meaning because of his death. Looking back at the angel's message, we can ask if they knew about all aspects of his mission on earth and especially about the necessity of his death. Probably they knew, perhaps not all details, But if somebody who was their superior, but also their friend, suddenly disappears, they would definitely want to know why. And knowing purpose of his mission, that rejoiced that the one that they lost contact with for some time is back. But it was joy with some sadness underneath. We also know that this sadness was only temporary because they welcomed him back when it was proven that even among imperfect people on earth, he was able to live perfectly according to God's law and was resurrected and exalted after his triumph on earth. There, and our final joy is expressed by hymn 144, Joy to the World, with which we will close our service today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being together this day. We thank you for the sentiments of this day, the study of our Lord's life and the wonderful example that he has left for us. We also appreciate the earthly family that you gave him that encouraged him and that were strong and noble and able to resist the evil influences that were around them. We thank you, too, for the sentiment that you chose the humble line of Nathan over the proud line of Solomon. And we thank you for the expression of Mary as she understood the same thing, that you look for the humble of heart, willing to serve in any way that you would have them serve. Help us, Father, to always appreciate that thought that you would call us who are nothing and that we can serve you faithfully if we remain loyal to your cause. We also now pray for, as we enter a new year, that each heart bowed before thee will remain humbly in thy service, to look for ways to honor you, to worship you in any way that we can, and that we can support one another, and that would be encouraging to our service to you. We thank you for the hope of the kingdom. We know that you have everything under control and that there is nothing to fear in this world. We commit ourselves always into thy loving care, thankful for all that you do for us. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.